John chapter 13, we're going to read 34 and 35. If you're there, say amen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Bow your heads. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, you are here. Your presence is here. I pray that your word will be planted deep into us, that you will hide it into our hearts. For when we need it, you will show us. In your name, amen. Have you ever asked the question, why was I created? Or, why do I exist? One of these acknowledges God. Outside of procreation, it is an age-old question that has perpetuated throughout time. Those questions are what separate us from the rest of creation. Let's take an example. Let's use the ant. An ant will go about its business day and night, working, working, working. It knows what to do. It dig the tunnels, collect the food, do everything that it needs to do. It does not stop and say, why was I created? Let's use another example. The dog. A dog will go and he's like waiting for you. He's like looking for you. Oh, he's got the food. He's going to pet me. He's going to play with me. He doesn't stop and go, why was I created? A cat, on the other hand, questions our existence. We were created first to have a relationship with God, and second, to have a relationship with one another. We were created to love. What is love? If the man on the street camera crew came up to you and stuck a microphone in your face and said, what is love? Could you define it? I like that. You have felt love. You have seen love. You've given love. But can you define what love is? To us, the English word love is four letters long. Yes, I went to school. I learned. It's four letters long. It's very simple and complex. It's simple enough to say, but it's complex in its understanding. We can say it, but context is crucial in its meaning. The Greeks had four different words for love. Phileo, which means brotherly love. If you were a student of geography, you know that Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Storge, which means family, self-love. Brotherly love was used about 21 times in the Bible, phileo. Storge was used about, it was half a word. It had phileo in front of it, which means brotherly love. Eros, which is a sexual love. It was not mentioned in the Bible. And agape. Agape love. God's love for us and our love for God. It is an action of obedience, and it was used over 100 times in the New Testament. Love is ingrained into the fiber of our being. How many songs, books, movies, or other things have been written about love? Advertising uses the attraction of love to sell products. They don't use love. They love your money. They tug at our emotions. The Greek word agape is used throughout the New Testament, and it is used to emphasize God's love for us, our love for Him, and our love for one another. It is a command. Love was made by God to be holy and pure, but the world does not know agape. It has perverted love as a whole, and it to feed the flesh and could never be satisfied. Galatians 5, 19 through 26 says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there are no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." So the first thing that we're going to learn is that we need to have godly love for the Father. We were created first to have a relationship with God. Mark chapter 12, 28 through 31 says, "One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked him, Jesus, 'What commandment is the foremost of all?' Jesus answered, 'The foremost is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Jesus knew the hearts of men. When you have scribes, the Pharisees, the people that study the law, what they do is they try to come up with ways around the law. They will shove the law in people's faces, but then they will try to find ways around it themselves. So when he asked the question, "What is the greatest?" Jesus knew, if I say it's love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, they will do that. But they will have no other love for anybody else because it's not as good as that. So what did Jesus do? He incorporated love your neighbor as yourself. He gave them a bonus. And he's looking at us to do the same thing. The world does not want God to be the focus of our love. They will argue that they can love their neighbor as themselves without God. But morality without accountability is worthless. It can be easily swayed by popular demand. There's a Christian apologist named Ravi Zachariah. I love to listen to him. He goes around and he will have debates with other intellectuals in the colleges or and have an open forum where people can come up and ask questions. And some of the questions that he receives are, how can a God of love allow bad things to happen? Which is a very good question. Sometimes we've asked that question ourselves. If God loves us, how can this bad thing happen to me? He said that he had to think about it, and he had heard somebody else argue this point. If there's bad things in this world, you have to acknowledge that there is evil. If there's evil, you have to acknowledge that there is good. If there's good and evil, then there is a moral law. If there's a moral law, then there's a moral lawgiver, which points back to God. Morality has changed over the course of the last 10, 20, 30 years. It's changed throughout all of eternity. But it's changed away from God. And we can see it in our culture. The second thing that we need to learn is that we have to have godly love for one another. We were created second to have a relationship with one another. 1 John 4, 7 through 13 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and anyone and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God had sent His only begotten Son into the world so we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit." How do you know that you're Jesus' disciple? So let's go back to John 13, 34 and 35. And I'm going to change the word love and use the word agape. It's not going to be perfect in its tense or the correct way that you would see it in the Greek, but we're going to change that. "A new command I give to you, that you agape one another, even as I have agaped you, that you also agape one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have agape for one another." So why am I preaching on love? Pastor's been preaching about the Holy Spirit. And this falls in the gifts of the Spirit. When Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians, he didn't start off, "Okay, I need to write this letter, chapter 1. Okay, I got chapter 1 done. I'm going to write chapter 2. No, he writes a letter as we wrote letters. How many of you guys had a pen pal? How many of you guys remember writing letters to family members? Yeah. When he got to chapter 13, he didn't sit there and go, "Oh, you know what? I need to write about love. That sounds like a good topic." No. In it, love was in the midst of what he was talking about with the gifts of the Spirit. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth. In it, he addressed the divisions that were in the church. He also spoke about the gifts of the Spirit, and in the midst of the gifts was love. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Agape love is an indicator of God's Holy Spirit abiding in us. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 10. And think about the word agape. "Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Tongues have not ceased. Prophecy and knowledge have not been done away with because the perfect has not yet come. Paul prefaced the love chapter with this in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All are not, all do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you a still more excellent way. That is love. Our godly love for one another needs to be a practice, not a theory. That's why we are launching the small groups ministry. Life together is love in action with the body of Christ, the church. If we have love for the Father in the vertical, then we should have love for everyone else in the horizontal. The other thing is, we need godly love for the lost. Just because you say, oh, you're my brother in Christ, I should love you, we need to have that same love for the people that are lost. Do you have agape love? Do you have that fruit of the Spirit love? Or are you offended by the Scriptures? If you are, you need to seek the Holy Spirit and give Him room in your life. For the Holy Spirit is in harmony with His Word, and we need to reconcile with and give way to the Holy Spirit. Our conduct should show the Spirit's work in our lives. When Pastor was talking about the fig tree, when it didn't have any fruit, what good is that tree? If we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, what are we here for? Why was I created? Back in 2006, I decided I was going to go back to school and try to learn some stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. One of the classes that I took was called Critical Thinking. I loved that class. I took a critical thinking lab and reading course. I failed the reading, but I aced the lab. Go figure. The critical thinking class gave me something to where I was able to sit down and think things through. I loved it. It was like another little notch on my belt. It was another tool I was able to have. So after the class was done, I thought, what am I going to do with this? I need to have some sort of outlet to be able to practice what I just learned. And so this is before Facebook and all that. And I started reading articles on Yahoo News. And I got to a certain part of it where it said the comment section. And I was like, huh, I can use my new tool to be able to practice on the comment sections. So I thought, critical thinking, this is going to be a great way for me to be able to take what I know and use it and try to change people's minds. quickly did I realize that nobody really is looking for their mind to be changed. Nobody sits there and goes, oh, you know what? That's a great point. I'm glad you pointed that out. And I became disillusioned with it. And I felt like the Spirit of God was telling me, you're focusing in the wrong place. That's not what is needed. Somebody may read it and say, you know what? That's a good point. I never thought of it that way. But it's usually lost. So after I decided to not do that anymore, I got on Facebook. And I noticed that people let everything out. I looked at it and I thought to myself, why are they doing this? Why are people just taking what's inside of them and letting the whole world know, good, bad, and ugly? Expecting others to go, you know what? I never thought of that. You know? And it reminded me of a picture. Nate, go ahead and put it up. If God is love, then why do bad things happen? How many of you guys know who Gary Larson is? The Far Side. That was my favorite cartoon. I absolutely loved it. I bought books. I used to take the newspaper and try to find the cartoons. It was The Far Side and Calvin and Hobbes and all that when I was a kid. I loved it. I loved the humor. But this image popped into my head. It shows God sitting at the computer. There's a gentleman walking down the street with a piano over his head, and God is sitting there with his finger over the smite button, ready to let that thing go. This is what the world sees when they think of God. We are the hands and feet of God, and we sometimes speak for Him and take His name in vain. How many of you guys go onto the comment section and take God's name in vain? You're not saying, oh, God, bleep. No. You're saying, I'm a Christian, but I'm not showing love. I'm a Christian, and I'm criticizing. I'm a Christian, and I think this person needs to die. That is taking God's name in vain. Just recently, if you follow the news, especially the Christian news, there's an author who has walked away from his marriage and walked away from his faith. His name's Josh Harris. And I remember hearing the news, and I was like, ah, my heart's broken. My heart hurt. And then Bonnie showed me some of the comments that were on these Christian sites. And I was embarrassed. I was truly embarrassed. I thought of coming up with a pseudo account and calling myself Lewis Seifer. We'll call him Lou for short. And going on each comment and saying, I approve this message. I approve this message. Satan is sitting there wanting to comment, I approve this message. Is God's love flowing through us? Is it evident in our online and offline conduct? If the horizontal isn't happening, then it's safe to say that the vertical is not either. Because if we truly love God, if we truly have the Spirit flowing into us, then this becomes easy. Are we sitting at our computer, figuratively and literally, with our finger over the smite button? But Paul said, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I will show you, and I show you a still more excellent way. It's love.